Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. We don't have such a long journey to Easter. Not very much time left. How are you walking the journey? Did you start out and then step aside and sit down on the side of the road and not move? Are you moving forward? Are you giving up at least one pattern of sin? Are you breaking one habit of sin? Please, brothers and sisters, when we do this, God is able to draw close. He's always close. But our sin can deafen us and blind us. And when we make the decisions to remove those patterns of sin from our lives, then the light of Christ shines in us more fully. And that's really true. And we begin to understand what we didn't understand before, because what is it? Sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. An old Baltimore Catechism definition, but it's true. It darkens the intellect and weakens the will. That's what sin does. It darkens our minds so we really can't reason correctly, and we can't reason with any kind of strength. It weakens our will. On top of not being able to see clearly, we say, oh, well, I don't care. It weakens our will to do good and to avoid evil. So take a look. It's not too late. Don't say, oh, well, too much of Lent is gone, maybe next year. You don't know if this is your last Lent. Please, open your heart to God's grace. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. If it weren't so serious, I would laugh at this passage. And the reason that I would laugh is it's so typical of the human condition. They begged and begged and begged God to send them a helper, and he gives them Moses. And then Moses gets them free of the Egyptians. He moves them toward the promised land, and they end up just complaining about everything. Instead of saying, okay, this may be a tough ride, but let's go for it. We're free of our enemies. We're not under servitude anymore. I mean, the terrible labor they had to perform in Egypt. Now we're out of that. That should have sustained them. But look at this passage. Look what happens in the human condition, because it happens to us too. From Mount Hor, the children of Israel set out on the Red Sea road to bypass the land of Edom. But with their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained. Now look who they complained against: God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We're disgusted with this wretched food. They're receiving miraculous food, quail and manna from heaven. Every day they find it there for them. Brothers and sisters, they're eating miraculous food. What happens to us in the Eucharist? Oh, I don't feel like going to Mass. And then things get difficult. And where is God? Why isn't God taking care of me? But we don't feed on the food he gives us. And the food he gives us is himself. It's not something separate from him. It is himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Brothers and sisters, put the right glasses on so you can see clearly. We just end up complaining about everything the moment it doesn't go our way. We forget the big picture totally, and we just see that this little thing has happened, and I don't like it. I want God to do something different. And that's the way we moan and complain. And that's what happened here. In punishment for their ingratitude, in punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you." So this plague, the serpents who bit people and many of them died, finally wake them up. And they say, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord, and you pray the Lord to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph, mount it on a pole, and whoever looks at it after being bitten will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent, mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. What does Jesus do for us upon the cross? takes away our sins forever. We're just not just healed to continue to live our physical life, but we're healed for the glory of heaven. This is a sign here. But you notice that even in this so-called sign, God is working miracles for his people. But read, just take the Old Testament, take Exodus and the book of Numbers, read it, and you'll see how often the people forget. They get a great, marvelous gift from God, but they quickly forget it. And they go back to their moaning and complaining. I think we do the same. We need to stop it. Because what we do is we dry up God's grace because it has no place to flow through our lives because we've blocked it by our bitterness, our anger, our complaining. Psalm 102, O Lord, hear my prayer and let my cry come to you. Lord, hear my prayer and let my cry come to you. Hide not your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call, answer me. The nations shall revere your name, O Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. When the Lord has rebuilt Zion and appeared in his glory, when he has regarded the prayer of the destitute and not despised their prayer. Notice that. When we feel destitute, when we feel so poor, so weak, that's when God comes to us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said to themselves, notice, clueless, because they really aren't listening. They aren't really seeking the truth. They're living in hypocrisy. So the Jews said, he is going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, where I am going, you cannot come. So they're just totally confused. So what's he going to do? Kill himself? He said to them, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, most solemn of words, I am. I am the fullness of life. I am the fullness of being. I am the fullness of existence. I am. All is in me. I am the origin of all. I am. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? It would be funny if it weren't so very serious. Who are you? And Jesus said to them, what I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation, but the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him, I tell the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. It's wonderful. Wherever he went, many came to believe in him. But his heart must sorrow for those who heard and did not allow themselves to comprehend. That makes no sense. He's this, he's that, he's not this, he's not that. They live in a world of their own making. They don't live in the world God has created. When people fight the truth, you can be sure that they've built up some kind of fortress inside themselves that they're going to believe that life is this, and this is the way I'm going to live, and this is what I'm going to do. I will take care of myself. And they shut out the power of God, the voice of God, the saving grace of the Savior. They shut it out. Oh, well, that's fine for you if that's what you want to believe. It's not what I want to believe. It's what I've been asked to believe. It's what leads to life. Brothers and sisters, we're in a pretty substantial battle in our country these days. Your truth, my truth. There is no such thing. There is objective truth. People may want to turn away from it, but there is objective truth. And ultimately, truth is a person. It is Jesus the Christ. All truth is embodied in him, is found in him. So that when we reject the truth, we reject the pathway to the very heart of God. Please, please, don't imitate the world of today. Don't even imitate a good portion of the leadership in the world today. Look for the truth. Look for authenticity. Look for simplicity. Look for humility. Look for kindness and generosity. Where you find that really lived out, not just put on like makeup, but really lived out, there you will find God. Take a look around. We reject so many people because they don't live up to the world standards. And it's my belief that oftentimes we pass the presence of Christ in someone because we fail to see him, because we don't have the right glasses on. We're not seeing clearly. We're not seeing what is really real, what is really true. I am the way, says Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. This, brothers and sisters, is the heart of it all. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if you want to grow more in living in the truth, certainly do these two things. Spend time when and where you can before the Blessed Sacrament. Spend time in church. If there's adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, spend time there. And then read his word and ask God to reform you. That is, to reform your priorities, to reform your values. Ask him to do that. Say, lead me, teach me, show me. Because when you begin to embark on that path, you immediately begin to walk more fully into the presence of Christ. Christ will never coerce. He invites. He's inviting you right now to draw closer to him. I beg you, the Eucharist, his word, Mass as often as you can. This is what puts us in his presence, and eventually the real truth, the honest truth, God himself, begins to invade our hearts and burn out what is false, what appears to be good, but is actually false. That's what God wants to do with us. Give him time before Holy Week, and then walk through Holy Week, giving him time to reshape you, to help you to think differently, that you may follow him more closely. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.